Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely wonderful day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice. I shall be glad in it. It just happens to be one of the most beautiful days we've had in a long time. Temperatures are in the high 50s, clear blue skies, a few chemtrail sprays, not much, light sea breeze. Stunningly beautiful in Florida, in Central Florida today, so I'm doing absolutely great. But even if it was raining, you'd still get the same response from me. I'm always doing great because I know who's in charge, and I know the prayer changes things, and I know who wins in the end. Real quick, and I told you this would happen the other day, guys. Jeffrey Epstein has settled out of court in the civil trial to avoid the release of new information. Remember, this has been going on for 10 years. They literally have, in this picture, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 20, 30, 40, 50 crates, huge binders, crates of information on this trial with personal testimony from all of these girls that he brought through and had raped, statutory raped, all these young children he brought through, and then, of course, all the people he got to videotape. So all of this information was about to be shown in civil court. Now, remember what happens with that. If the judge sees it and sees that there's additional criminal charges pending, he can give it over to the state attorney's office for prosecution. I had a person that I know, he's not a friend, he was a pastor, nationally known, TV evangelist, not going to mention names. He got busted for doing all kinds of crazy things, got a private investigator involved in it, tried to blame it on somebody else. Private investigator found out what was going on. He fired the private investigator from the job he had with the ministry, just for no due cause, just because he learned the truth about this pastor. And what ended up happening is that private investigator then filed a civil suit against this minister for wrongful dismissal. And he submitted all of the evidence that he had picked up doing the investigation with all the depositions that he had done under oath. And the judge took one look at it and said, this is not a civil case. This is a criminal case. I'm going to go ahead and get this preacher to come in here, and we're going to depose him, see what he has to say, and then if it doesn't come out the way it's supposed to, we are going to give all of this evidence to the criminal court, to the state prosecutor, to have this boy put in jail and basically tried for these crimes. Now, that's what Jeffrey Epstein saw coming down the road like a freight train. And plus, think about this. How many hundreds, if not thousands, of high-level men in high-level government positions came through his homes in New York City in Palm Beach, right there close to the Mar-a-Lago with Trump, and also on his island that's been burned now, get rid of the physical evidence. All of these places and all the videotaping and all of the cameras, this boy's life was about as going to be about as short as a gnat if he'd had these guys start testifying, and he'd have never made it to trial as far as testifying. So remember, he's a multi-billionaire. So I don't know what he paid out. Total speculation on my part of the girls that who basically brought this lawsuit like 10 years ago, worked it through the courts for 10 years. I'm sure it's in the tens of millions of dollars, including to the attorney for the girls. And he has now profusely apologized to the attorney on how he was treated by his attorneys. It says, while Mr. Edwards, the attorney who was fighting against him, was representing clients against me, I filed a lawsuit against him, in which I made allegations about him where the evidence conclusively proves were absolutely false. In other words, he straight lied under oath. That's called abusive process, by the way. The truth, as that is his aggressive investigation and litigation style, was highly effective and therefore troublesome for me. The lawsuit I filed was my unreasonable attempt to damage his business reputation and cause Mr. Edwards to stop pursuing cases, multiple, plural, probably hundreds, against me. It did not work. Despite my best efforts, he continued to do an excellent job for his clients, and although and through his relentless pursuit, I may have over 10 years held me responsible. I am now admitting that I was wrong and the things I said about Mr. Edwards' reputation, the trial order, were false. He's totally lying. He goes, I sincerely apologize for the false and hurtful allegations I made and hope some forgiveness for my acknowledgement of wrongdoing. Are you kidding me? How about all of the dozens, if not hundreds, of girls who he allowed to be raped? Why didn't they get this apology? Why didn't they hear him say this? These rape cases are just starting against Epstein. There were so many more girls involved in this, and now that they've seen they got that these other girls cashed out a big payday, this stuff's going to come home to roost. Now, here's the problem that he has. If those girls hire the same attorney he just apologized to, the evidence is already in play. He already has the evidence. I can pretty much guarantee you this evidence will not be used again, and any attorney who starts will have to start from scratch, because I have complete confidence that in the settlement and this apology and the huge amount of money that I'm quite confident this attorney got, it is going to be a sealed bunch of records at this point, and no one is to see them again. Guys, what an unbelievable steaming pile of methane this Epstein is, and what he's done to all of these young girls, and continues to have these young girls run in and out of his homes with him in the car in both New York and Palm Beach, and multiple photos are available online about this guy. These people like this, who do things like this, as far as I'm concerned, there is a special place in hell for these people. Austin, what do you think?
It is. It's really sick, and it just shows you how far the corruption, how systemic it is, because you got to think about this. One of the main reasons why this guy is not behind bars, I mean behind barred bars, like, you know, up in Rayford prison bars down here in Florida, like full-blown federal penitentiary, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you're in gin population for the next 20 years for statutory rape of a minor. The reason why is because if they totally bring him down, he's probably right outside the same category as Hillary Clinton, as he has told everybody, if I go to a standard federal prison or a state prison, be well aware that I will release all the videotapes that I have on everybody that's come and partied with me down on my island and in my rooms and everything else. And that's why, I mean, this sicko gets 13 months in jail, and it wasn't even like, it was more like house arrest, and he still got to fly around in between states and go run around and do whatever he wanted for 13 months. It was jail, was in prison, wasn't house arrest. I mean, even when you're in probation, you're not even allowed to leave the state without getting permission from your parole officer for legitimate reason. And this guy is a complete and total sack of crap, and I cannot believe he's still running around, and the judicial system has allowed this man to go free. And now the fact that he has settled outside of court just shows you nobody wanted him to release what he has on all this stuff, Dad. Unbelievable.
Well, also, think about this for a second. You know, he's got to have a dead man switch. He has to. And here's the next thing. And oh, by the way, if I suddenly am suicided and I find myself dead, I have got this stuff stuck everywhere with every major mainstream outlet that he probably has known for years and years and years, and all of a sudden all this stuff's going to hit the fan with a whole bunch of names, places, and let's have it all, guys, videotape. Guys, this guy is as filthy and as dirty as Hillary Clinton, and it blows my mind that this stuff is happening in the United States of America, and these guys continue to get away with this kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, Heather McDonald says that America is being taught to hate itself on college campuses. This is a Fox broadcast. Heather McDonald is a lawyer, a scholar, and an author on race relations, immigration, policing, and diversity in industry and universities. She was prevented from speaking about policing and policymaking at Claremont McKenna College in 2017. She says the race and gender pandering is corrupting the university and it's undermining our culture. Students are being taught to hate the accomplishments of Western civilization and to hate each other. Remember yesterday I came with you guys a story that Stanford was telling their fraternities to drop the American flag because it was basically a message of hate and separation. This lady also goes on to say that she says the most preposterous delusion of all that students are taught to believe is that they are at risk for their lives from racism and sexism on college campuses. So what is she saying? She's saying because somebody's a racist, because somebody uses the wrong words, because somebody uses the wrong pronouns, they should be in fear for the risk of their lives. College administrators are even more left-wing to the faculty, and they are part of a massive bureaucracy that drives up tuition costs. For example, Jerry Kang, a lawyer specializing in systematic bias, hate crimes, and affirmative action, is the vice chancellor for equity, diversity, and inclusion at UCLA and has paid more than $100,000 a year. Diversity officers on campus have nothing to do because bigotry is virtually non-existent. American taxpayers are subsidizing the problem, and she suggests defunding universities. Now, I wouldn't go as far as defunding the public universities. I wouldn't do that, but here's what I would do. I would set salary caps on the professors, because this is why student loans have gone through the roof. A college professor back in the 70s may have made $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year as a tenured professor, maybe $35,000 in some of the programs. Some of these guys now are making $250,000, $350,000, and it's like this guy, $400,000 a year, and the students have to pay this through the doggone loans that they're taking out to be subsidized back to the school. So what an unbelievable mess this thing has turned out into with the universities, Austin, with this diversity training and teaching everybody that everyone's a racist and everybody has to use the right pronoun. What do you think, bud?
It's insane, because we've reached a level in the United States now where political correctness has gone so far hard to the left that they're trying, and guys, remember, all this is coming down to one basic premise, and that is self-censorship. They want everybody to reach a point where nobody will say anything, nobody will speak the truth, nobody will talk about the Federal Reserve, nobody will talk about the Rothschilds, nobody will talk about the big giant transgender in your daughter's bathroom. Nobody will talk about any of that for fear of reprisal, because if you continue to give people negative sanctions for saying anything that you deem to be basically offensive, and you do it over and over and over and over and over again, and you teach them from this young age, and you continue to blast them and blast them and blast, you're not allowed to say this, you're not allowed to say that, then you slowly indoctrinate the entire population into self-censorship, where you don't even have to muzzle them anymore. They'll muzzle themselves, because they're fear of the reprisal and fear of the blowback they're going to get from the majority of the community that they're surrounded by. See, the problem is, when you're in college, and I've been in college numerous years when I'm younger, bachelor's and master's degree, is I love the college I went to, Southeast. It was a great college, Christian school, actually. One thing about it, though, is that college is not reality. That's just a fact. You live in this fantasy, fairy tale little bubble when you're in college. It's a blast. It's fun. There's real, no true responsibility. You got to have a job, you know, and work to pay your bills. You go to class, you write papers, you take exams. You know, the stressful part of your year is like midterms and finals. And that's that. And so what they're doing is they're indoctrinating these kids into believing that the political correctness world that they live in college is a reality. And it's not. But here's the problem. The more kids that they indoctrinate into this, and the more kids that they send out into the open society after they indoctrinate them into this, they're turning them into these social justice warriors that literally want to pick on every single word you say and the way you say it, because it can be deemed offensive by somebody somewhere, someplace in the world at any given time. It's idiotic, but it's part of the Communist Manifesto and forcing people to self-censor themselves. Because once you continue to take this down the line far enough, again, like I said a second ago, we're going to end up with a generation. It may not be this generation, may not be Generation Z or whatever they're called, it may not be the next one, but once they do this long enough, we will start to have a generation that is the majority of the population, not the minority anymore, the majority. And once the majority of the population starts forcing the rest of the population to shut up and not say what they're thinking because it's offensive, you start dealing with a tyrannical population, not just a government, a population, that the majority is forcing the minority to self-censor themselves, all under the fear of reprisal. And that is exactly what the communist end goal is, because the only way to push their agenda, to push the global initiative, to push the United Nations, is to bring the negativity about these certain topics out of the limelight. And the only way to do that is full-blown censorship, like we've seen with Facebook, which they're already doing, and on top of that, self-censorship, which is exactly what the professors and the colleges and universities are doing now, Deb.
You're absolutely right, Austin. I couldn't have said any better. I've got a special treat for you guys today. My friend Steve Quayle, that I met several years ago out in Bozeman, Montana, has agreed to come on the show with us today and discuss a lot of current political issues and stuff that's going on. So he's a great guy, well-known on the Hagman Show, well-known on Sheila Show, well-known on with Dave Hodges, good friend to the movement. I've absolutely been in doing this probably longer than all of us back since the 90s. So, Steve, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show today. Any particular topic you want to start with today?
Well, I think that, Ted, thanks for having me on, and I think it's really critical for people to understand that, you know, we use the lateness of the hour as kind of a metaphor, but everything has changed so drastically now that the word normalcy, and, you know, you guys were talking about political correctness, or your guess was, 20 years ago, and, like, I guess because I've been on talk radio, I can say those kind of statements because I was there 20 years ago, you know, I said the tombstone on America's demise would be political correctness did us under. And it was even at Berkeley student, a young student that was Obama's chief of staff, Valerie Jarrett, that said she would love to see America's laws used against itself to destroy itself. So what I want people to understand is this. You know, I've taught and then spoken 20,000 hours, you know, on other people's shows, on my own show. I did 3 hours a day for years. And what's important for people to understand is that background is important when it's not plain in your face. But now that it's in our face, we have to deal with what is. And what is this? We are undergoing, a full-scale communist revolution slash takeover.
That's right.
We are undergoing a intentional destruction of the Western world to bring on the New World Order. Everybody can quote the logo or the motto on the dollar bill, the New World Order, you know, Novus Ordo Seclorum and Anno et Coeptis announcing, but they don't want to apply it. As a world citizen and basically honors, not all, but honors George Bush, remember, that's the guy that said New World Order 235 or 65 times? So here's, yes. I think, Ted, if I could get one point across today, that I think 99% of the people in the, let's just say, aware movement, prepper movement, concern movement, they lose track of it's this. The Western world under Masonic, Illuminati, global, Luciferian control is to be destroyed as we watch it right before our eyes in order to bring upon the New World Order. And the New World Order is nothing more than the rule of Lucifer, the fallen one who became Satan, which means adversary. And now there's no getting around the supernatural because it's in everybody's faces. Everything changed after September 15th. I went on record months before Branson because Branson, and this is an important point, we had the transhumanism and hybrid age, which was streamed by people all over the world. We had Hugo de Garrison, a bunch of people. But what I said was important, and I don't believe that. I'm not taking credit for it. I said after Branson, everything changes, and the word normal will no longer be again. Now, as we watch just even the earthquakes taking place, as we watch this strange wave, by the way, I believe those waves and plural on waves are particle accelerators and even secret ones that are going on almost in a triangulation mode to initiate the great earthquakes. And remember, Ted, these people believe that they're going to inherit a paradise courtesy of the fallen one and do what thou willest and do it whatever you please, you know, their motto. So the point is that we're now experiencing weather warfare. When I first started talking about weather warfare, and by the way, just for your listeners' information, when I say I was first, it's not for ego. It's to say I started writing about this 25 years ago. And still, you know people, you and I have talked about it, that look up at the sky and can't differentiate between chemtrails and contrails, condensation trails. And now we've got the most horrific hurricanes. We've got absolute earthquakes that are off the chart. And I don't know if you saw my website the day back, I don't know, months ago, when they were quoting a 9.5 to 10.5 earthquake. It was all in Volcano World in Krakatoa in Indonesia. And all of a sudden, the day later, it disappeared. That would have been the biggest recorded earthquake in several hundred years, equal to Krakatoa and Tambora, 1818, 1883, when those things went off respectively. So why is this critical? Because everything is changing. When you look at geoengineering, weather wars, and I wrote a book, you know, 15 years ago, Weather Warfare and Unnatural Disasters, people could not believe it. If I could quote, I can't do it by numbers, if I could quote every single patent and give the abstract brief, you know, I'd love that, but I can't do it. But I can say 4686605, the famous HARP patent from Bernard Eastland lays it out so clearly. So the idea that weather warfare and that geoengineering are foreign and that's just the stuff of conspiracy. I'll tell you that anybody that makes that statement is not only beyond ignorant, but they're dumb unto their own destruction. Because the U.S. Air Force put out its brief weather as a force multiplier where they said, we own the weather in 2025. Unfortunately, Zbigniew Brzezinski and Defense Secretary Cohen made the statement they already owned the weather back then, and now what we've got is we've got the perfect combination of the destruction of the Earth, we have the Earth's weather that will result in obvious famine, and now we've got also, which it comes into what you're trying to get people healthy, we've got the mutagenic nature of aerosolized compounds, including red blood, corpuscles. We're seeing, if you will, binary active bioagents putting in the spray, and people look up at the sky, see all the chemtrails, and say, oh, isn't that a pretty chembo? What they see after spraying is not a rainbow. It's a chemical residue, if you will, dispersal pattern that people will claim is a rainbow. It's not. It really should be called a death bow. So, you know, here's where I'm at. Obviously, starting on talk radio 25, 27 years ago, 27 as a guest, 25 as a host, what is hard for people to embrace is anything that shocks them out of the norm. You know that. We've got normalcy bias, and we all want to, you know, go to bed one night and hope the world wakes up the same way as we did the previous day. But it's not going to happen. So I'm telling everybody, and seriously, their number one concern now should be preparing. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a sophisticated investor, if you're in the market, you know, stocks, bonds, it doesn't matter what, real estate, any area that you've known that has been familiar and common. When the boys and the girls in the Illuminati world just decide they're going to pull the plug, everything and everyone's life changes at that moment.
You're right, Stephen. I mean, that's a very good summary of what's going on. Oh, by the way, Austin is my co-host. He's not a guest today. I didn't bother to tell you that. But Austin,
oh, okay.
I've been doing the show now for 3 years, so I want to make sure you knew that. So we don't have another guest. It's Austin. I do the show every day. Now, you said something yesterday, and I have said this so many times on the show, and for some reason, Christians don't get this. And there was an article that you ran yesterday. It says, Sanhedrin invites 70 nations to Hanukkah to dedicate the altar for the third temple. And he goes, Tom Horn is one of the very few scholars who understands that the Antichrist comes before, into the temple, before Jesus the Messiah. Matthew 24:14-16. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 24:14-16 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Verse 16. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, and let those who know or in Judah flee to the mountains. Now, Steve, explain to my listeners, I know my guys have got it pretty much figured out, that this third temple and the Antichrist, it all kind of comes together, and this is something that we really don't need to be striving to obtain. Explain that, please.
Okay, yeah, and here's the thing. Jesus said, I came, you received me, not another will come, claiming to be me, and him you will receive. I think, Ted, and by the way, Austin, nice to meet you. I don't think we've ever talked. We're in a position
now.
Good
to meet you too, brother.
Yeah, thank you. We're in a position now where Christians are, and I'm sorry, but when God says his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I'm not Christian bashing or bashing the brethren when I'm saying, please understand this. When I get emails, oh, Brother Steve, you know, aren't you excited about the ashes of the red heifer? Look, no, I understand what's going to happen. You just quoted the scripture, Ted. And what Christians have got to understand is this temple that is being built with Christian donations and a lot of the furniture, et cetera, et cetera. They're
right.
Building it for the Antichrist. Tom
That's
Horn
right.
is to be commended. If you've been talking about that, and forgive
I
me, because I didn't know that you had until you told me, there are so very few people that grasp it. We are to lift up Jesus Christ, not clap our hands at the house for the Antichrist. Jesus made it very clear that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He made that clear. He also through the scriptures made it clear that his spirit, the spirit of the living God, would live in us. So people that are looking for the external manifestation of the third temple and temple institute, the very idea of offering animals as a sacrifice is anathema. The whole New Testament testifies against it. The Old Testament said it was just a sign. So, you know, that's what I meant, and be honest with you, I thought it was interesting. Remember, the Sanhedrin are the, if you will, they're the lawyers of their day. And if anybody's going to get their hands in the middle, it's going to be the Sanhedrin.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Steve, because if you, there's a really good video out, you watch it online. It's Brad Metzler Decoded, and it deals with the spear of destiny. And at the very end, he actually talks to somebody who knows where the spear is, and he says that this is on the History Channel. You can watch it, and he says the guys who basically are in control of the spear of destiny consider themselves to be sons of the fallen or the benign high Nephilim, and he says that these guys want to basically rebuild the temple and have their Antichrist, this son of perdition, go into the Holy of Holies and cut himself with the spear of destiny to be declared ruler of the planet. And people aren't getting this. I have so many Christian friends who are donating to the temple fund, and I'm like, why do you want to rebuild the temple? Jesus Christ abolished all of that. I mean, this is not something we need to be putting our money into. We need to be putting our money into saving the lost. So it's very frustrating.
Amen, Ted. On the spear of Longinus. Longinus was the Roman that history records as thrusting the pier into Jesus' side. Let me share this. That was owned by Hitler. It's been owned by the Habsburgs. You know, the Illuminati's got it. And the interesting thing about it, and it's called the Spear of Destiny. But just as Antiochus Epiphany slaughtered, you know, pigs on the altar of the temple before he destroyed it, people have got to understand that we're not redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats,
but by
the precious blood of the Lamb of God. So I want to share something, I'm going to say this. I have no issue with Jewish people that are Messianic Jews. I have every issue with Gentiles who think somehow they're going to get closer to Jesus after having accepted him as Lord and Savior and had a truly born-again experience, trying to go back under the law, trying to, embrace all these ordinances, you know. The bottom line is, now I'm getting wound, okay? Brother, you got me wound. For 47 years, I have been preaching and teaching that the liberty we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is what Paul railed on the Galatians over when he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Jesus Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This whole thing is going to be a trap, and I'm going to say this, deceived Christians are going to swallow it. Hook, line, and sinker. And Jesus said that the deception is going to be so great that except he, the living God, shorten the days, there be no flesh left alive. And, you know, his last words, see that ye be not deceived. The deception is increasing, the dumbness is multiplying, and the denial of the biblical basis of our faith. You know, the problem is, Ted, there is no fear of God in the land. And when I say that, I'm talking about the reverential awe and fear that the early church possessed that basically caused Pentecost to happen and people to go forth with the power of the living God. How is it that the people that turned the world upside down after Pentecost are now at the end of a spear of Islam, are being bloodied, slaughtered, and absolutely decimated, and the bragging of the Islamic soldiers is that there'll be no Christians left in the Middle East within another 1 or 2 years. Now, then you've got Erdogan, President of Turkey, coming on the scene and literally making the claim that Islam is Islam. And so, Ted, the thing is that what I see, and I want to get to another point if you don't mind, what I see is a capitulation of claimants to Christianity, but not possessants of eternal life. Does that make sense?
No, you're right. They're basically saying that they're Christians in word only, but not in deed and not in the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, and they're not truly saved. And see, I see this all of the time, Steve, and it's so frustrating to me because I tell my listeners, if you understood what being a Christian is about and what the power of your prayer does. You would pray unceasingly. And I said, but most people who become Christians, nowadays they get saved in a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it church, or one of these happy, happy churches, and they don't understand about repentance. They don't understand about prayer. They don't understand about being sanctified. They don't get any of it. And so they get this image of being a Christian, but they really don't understand the power. And the pastors in the pulpit, the other, last week I got on a tear and I said, we've got the preaching panty wearing pulpit pastors who are basically unwilling to tell the people the truth about what's going on globally, you know, with the New World Order, with transhumanism, with all of this transsexual weirdness, and now they're actually embracing it and bring it into the churches because they're not standing for what the Word of God says. So yes, I really appreciate you basically coming back in on my show today and basically helping me to reinforce that. And guys, if you get told by your pastor that you've got a Jewish rabbi who's not a born-again Christian who's coming into your church to raise money for the Third Temple or for the Temple Fund, tell them to pound salt and to go away. This is not what you want. It has nothing to do with modern Christianity. Steve, I had a friend of mine years ago. His name was Pastor Terry. I won't give you his last name. This is 30 years ago. Because I, like you, I've been on talk shows now for 33 years. And what was interesting, I remember I met him on a talk show. And in fact, I spoke for him. And he's a Christian. And he was, like you said in Galatians, he was trying to put everybody back under the yoke of bondage. You know, with the first fruits offering, this offering, that offering, all of these different things it talks about in the Old Testament, putting everybody back under Hanukkah, for heaven's sakes, which isn't even listed in the Old Testament. And all of this stuff, I told him, his name was Pastor Terry, I said, Terry, you can't do this. You're putting people back as Christians under the yoke of slavery, under the Old Testament. And even when I teach dietary guidelines based on the Old Testament, I say these are God's principles. You're not going to go to hell if you eat pork. You make it to heaven quicker because it's bad for you. But God, basically, He sanctified us from the curse of the law. And now we need to be obedient to what His Word says, Steve, but it's not going to base us on our salvation or not. And putting people back under that yoke of that strict, strict Judaism and sect that we get from the Old Testament is nonsense because we're not. It doesn't save anybody. And so you're absolutely right, Steve. So forgive my little tirade there. But
I think it's important because here's the deal. The most pressing problem in Christianity, and I want to take it out of the argument of churchianity, I want to take it out of the theology realm, I want to talk about Jesus, okay?
Good.
Is the basis. He is the ultimate reconciliation before God the Father and all fallen humanity. And if you've heard me, and I know you listen to me, yawn and hoff, and that's not important, but my number one heartbreak and my number one anger issue, which I'm dealing with, by the way, because Scripture does say we can be angry and sin not, I just got to make sure I don't sin. When people are absolutely ashamed, I want to deal with pukes in the pulpit, okay? I have a sermon called When God Flash Vomits the flash vomit, not a good thing when God does it. We're told in the book of Revelation that, that lukewarm are going to be spewed out of his mouth. Ted,
right.
We have got brethren being slaughtered in the most horrific ways. We have all the slaughter of the innocents, the babies. We've got all the food additives. And I want to share something with your listeners because I don't think some we have crossover. But when I started on talk radio all those years ago, the Lord told me two things. You'll know the tribulation has started. Now, you know this is going to be popular. When all the major volcanoes of the earth start coming active and the headlines of cannibalism, and cannibalism fills the headlines of the day. And I also said back then the Catholic Church is going to go to war with itself, and it will start out a war of words, and it'll end up a fighting war. I also said that the Catholicism, the if you will, the new Catholics will merge with the Muslims because the Muslims and the Catholics will want the same thing, the domination of the world. And you've seen this Pope do that. How is it that he kisses the Quran and belittles the Lord Jesus? I tell you what, brother, there's three space forces in the world, and when I see that, I'm the third force. I'm in orbit, okay? And you know what's interesting? We talk about Jesus and his death and resurrection as a passion, but Ted, have you noticed that the passion is gone in God's people? Now, the majority, and I call them pukes in the pulpit, pickpockets in the pulpit. I talk about, and I mean no disrespect. disrespect. I have five men of God in my life who are genuine men of God after God's heart, who are pastors, that I wouldn't be who I am today. And that's, you know, a sinner in the process of redemption. But anyway, one that's got a voice, and I'm not going to quit talking about Jesus because he's the one that made all the difference in the world for me. But why is it that there's such silence? And, you know, it's amazing. The only reason Islam could rise is because Christians got, they turned into, well, you know my term, meow men. It's a little bit more sanctified for some people. I'd like to call it like I see it. And for the record, there's a scripture in the Old Testament said that if you're wounded in the stones, meaning you don't have any testicles, you can't go into the congregation of the Lord. Man, that rules out about 75% of the pastors.
That's right.
Functionally. And some people say, oh, that's so nasty. I don't know that. I don't know. I don't believe you. What do you think Jesus went through on, you know, and the scourging, and where his visage was so marred you couldn't even tell he was a human? You know, this, we are such a bunch of prisses, okay? And the world, and here's the deal. Look at the transgender movement. Here's what people have got to understand. Every single thing that God created and saw that was good in Genesis, including marriage between a man and a woman, every single barrier is being broken down. And listen, when no one else was talking about the transhumanism and hybrid, you know, I can tell you this from radio shows I did, that even concept was foreign to most people when I was talking about technology would produce the monsters of mythology and of old. And the same story is going to be, it's amazing, they won't embrace the fallen angel, Genesis 6, having sex with earth women, producing the mighty men of old, and yet they'll go ahead and produce, or they'll accept the fact that aliens, and you got to ask yourself, who created them, came to planet Earth, had a good time, and basically, you know, is coming back to see their creation. It's nonsense, but it's insanity that's embraced. When you've got 1.5 million witches and less Presbyterians than that, you know, you find out that something's really wrong. When you've got the Archbishop of Canterbury complaining about Christianity on the right hand, yet doing everything he can to destroy it on the left by acknowledging, quote, unions. But now, you know, I thought Baskin-Robbins was unique with 31 flavors of ice cream, and now what do they have? 31 different combinations of it's, you know, and you know, I mean, you know, it just, it's starting to hit home. And Ted, I want to share something. I want to share with people that, ladies and gentlemen, I really believe, and I don't know when we're off in a couple minutes or 20 minutes or so, but I want everybody to know that Gen 6 conferences have made a change worldwide. I have people from all over the world saying this is making a difference. The next year is 2019, and for the record, I don't see anything past that in the way of conferences, and it's called Answering the Alien Question. But if people want to go on Gen6, GENSIX.com, they can get a free copy of David Flynn's Tribute Edition Cydonia book. And for the record, Ted, you know smart people. I know smart people. We both know a lot of smart people. If you ever had the chance to have met him when he's alive, he was an anomaly, a gift. But I published his book, Cydonia, The Secret Chronicle of Mars. And when I spoke about Antarctica and started talking about that a couple years ago when I came out with my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, and people said, that can't be true. And I said then that the tie between Mars and Antarctica is going to increase to the point, at some point they're going to announce that Mars was once inhabited, and then at the correct time they're going to say is now inhabited. So if people don't believe that, I can say this. You will see it, and when you tell the headlines tomorrow, by the way, the living God is the only one who can declare the headlines of tomorrow at the beginning of yesterday. God is God. And so I want people to go on Gen6.com, because if they want to order those DVDs, they're normally $120, $100. They'll get David Flynn's book, and I think the Tribute Edition on my website's $30-$40. And once that title's done, since I own the copyright, I'm going to retire the title, because there is no one smarter that I've ever met. And over the years, there's gifted individuals that God puts on earth, and David died of a brain tumor several years ago and a tragedy, but he literally in all respect, was given the keys to understanding history by the Lord, his book, Temple at the Center of Time. I mean, it's amazing. And so Mars, watch Mars. Look at everything. And isn't it amazing? They show these amazing... Now, I know there are people that don't believe in Mars and the planets and stuff. I happen to, because I know a lot of people in a lot of different parts of the world who, you know, who are in such advanced physics and stuff that all the things that people see in the sky, they don't believe. So Gen6.com. Sign up for the conference because the tickets sold out 2 months before September, and now people are trying to get them. So we're giving people a break on price, and if they buy the DVDs, I don't know if you were you able to stream it.
I was nasty, but I need it. Thank you for promoting the conference. Everybody, I recommend this conference if you go get to it. Now, Steve, real quick, I got to ask you two more questions because we only got about 10 minutes left.
Sure.
I want you to talk about Antarctica, what's really under the ice, because you're the expert on that. And I want you to talk about what they've already let in at CERN, what interdimensional entities that you've been told have come through the CERN vortex by generals who were there, because I've heard you talk about both those things. And if we could do each for about 5 minutes, that would be great.
Okay, well, first of all, let's talk about the Antarctic. The Antarctic, even going back to the Peary Reis map of the 1500s, was shown without ice. And I literally, Ted, and I can tell you a very famous name, but because I would be exposed, I can't tell them, but I know people. I know five different people that have been in the underground, if you will, the tropical underground world under the ice. And there were a couple of films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple of films during Doug McClure, you know, who was Trampas on the Virginian, that he made, you know, and Journey to the, I think it was, what, Center of Time or something. But the point is that I've talked to submarine commanders, nuclear commanders. I've talked to spec ops. I've talked to people that there are no photographs any place of them because they simply don't exist, who have verified it. And I've talked to people whose relatives developed the aerospace industry. So let me share one thing first. When it comes to Empire Beneath the Ice, how the Nazis won World War II, our entire space program was set up by Dr. Wernher von Braun, former SS, and also Hermann Oberth, who are the two smartest men in the world during that time of modern rocketry. One of them's on record as saying it's not that we Germans were any smarter than the West, but we had help from
them.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
And I detail in my book about, and this may sound gross, I don't mean to gross anybody out, but the Nazis into the occult was so great that even some of the women who became demon-possessed gave birth to ectoplasmic entities, let's just figure it out, like jellyfish, they look like jellyfish people, who dictated advanced mathematics, advanced propulsion, and gave them a head start like no one else. I've heard idiots say that the Hannibal and some of the other, Der Glock and these things didn't exist. I got photographs of them, real 8x10 photographs of them that do exist. So when I talk to all these people, you know, here's the deal. When Admiral Byrd, whether you believe he went there or not, but he encountered the king of the world. Now, what does the Bible tell us who the king of the world is?
Satan.
Satan.
So Jesus didn't dispute Satan when he promised him all these kingdoms of the world would be, you know, yours. I'll deliver them unto you if you just bow down and worship me. And that's when Jesus rebuked him. So before the breakup of the Third Reich, the prime scientists, all of their advanced technology, both that which they developed and that which they were helped to develop, went down to New Schwabenland. And New Schwabenland was the, if you will, the mythological Hyperborea that originally Hitler thought was in the far north, and they found out it was in the far south. So encounter this individual. Only the kings of the world, remember, the Bible tells us that all the kings of the world will give their power unto the Antichrist. The kings of the world went down there. We had Obama. We had
That's
the Pope.
Right.
We had Kirill of the Russian Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. We had everybody in their dog, including Kerry, you know, and others that... What was it? Buzz Aldrin got hauled out of there because he had an incident and he started talking about what's down there and then they shut him up. You remember that?
That's right. Yep, I do.
So,
yes, he
sent
out a text,
what I know
a tweet
from people who have been there, and I haven't, okay, I want to make this clear, that the testimony of multiple disciplines, multiple people from all over the world, and not just Americans, okay? And I'm going to get to CERN in a minute. There is a world down there of such advanced technology that the rulers of this earth pay homage to. And I want to draw everyone's attention. Dr. Mengele and the four, and you've talked about it, I'm sure, but Dr. Mengele perfected twinning, in vitro twinning, in 1945, 1946 in South America.
That's right.
And clones. Human clones with accelerated growth potential and mitochondria acceleration, everything, have been a fact of over 50 years, told to be by multiple four-star generals, multiple spies, and scientists that basically are so far out there you can't even lasso them in. They have to come to you, you know. And here's the deal. Clones can't reproduce. I just want to put a thought in everybody's mind. Macron, no children. Who? Merkel, no children.
That's
what
right.
About Theresa May? No children. And you go down the line and you find out an interesting thing. The majority of the mouthpieces for the globalists, contemporary heads of countries, have no children. Why is that? And, Ted, I want to say one other thing. When you see somebody pursing, is that how you say it, pursing or parsing their lips, where they put them together and kind of suck them back against their cheek muscles?
Right.
If you watch, yeah, the newest picture of that was Tim Cook of Apple, okay? I was told that what happens when anything goes out of the parameter of their clone programming, that is their reversion. In essence, it's, if you will, a program response. And that is what's interesting to me, because if you notice who does it, you know, versus who doesn't do it, it's interesting. Now let's get to CERN. CERN is only one of many. It's the biggest known one, but CERN, I've been contacted, you've heard me say this, by scientists who said they have literally seen the entities at the end of the tunnel, the target place where they're looking to observe the new particles. Why is it, Ted, and I know this, and Austin, too, chime in, but the point is that everything associated with CERN, from Shiva, obviously when the atom bomb was created, Oppenheimer quoted, you know, the famous text that he's become the destroyer of worlds, the cosmic destruction and resurrection of the world, is that which CERN pays homage to. I've had people tell me, Steve, they have opened it up and terrifying entities have come through. Now remember this, terrifying entities don't all have to take on corporeal form at that point. But if you go to the Middle East, the sesame, and that's what they call it, sesame particle accelerator, you remember 1001 Arabian Nights? One of the most interesting things.
Open sesame,
is
right.
Yeah, open sesame. So what the gates of hell are opening, when Jesus, oh, thank you, Lord, when Jesus gave us that statement, there was no context of time that would understand it until now. Then we get stargates, okay? And now they're opening, and they're talking about particle gates, they're talking about portal gates, and portal, obviously. And here's something interesting your listeners would like to know. Tom Horn and I, Tim Alberino, we're down in the Southwest. We did our Holocaust of Giants video down there. And the Native American elders tell us they have a giant society. That's what they call it. And they open up the portal. They explain it as just like you see it on Stargate 1, the original film. And the giants come and talk to them and tell them they're getting ready to come back. Now, that was 2 years ago. Fast forward, I have the interview of the guy that was basically flying the dead giant out of Afghanistan. There were two giants taken out of Afghanistan. L.A. Marzulli's talking about the one in Kandahar, the one that I refer to that was on the pallet, the red-headed giant. That came out of the Bagram area. But suffice it to say, that the same pilot that flew that giant out was in a beer, microbrewery in New Mexico. A Native American comes up, an elder comes up to him and said, I must sing for you, and did a chant, I guess I call it a sing, and said, you have seen giants, you must go and tell your people that the giants are coming back. Up until that point, the pilot was going, man, did I really see this? By the way, he was a believer. He used to say I was fully you-know-what until he heard me on Coast to Coast and had that experience, and he tracked me down from halfway around the world and it's a real thing. So CERN is already opening. So look at all the occult associated, the tunnel worship, all everything. These guys are welcoming their destroyers. I asked the Native Americans I talked to, why are you worshiping these guys when they totally ate you, cannibalized you out of existence? And they said, well, it's because of tradition. I said, brother, I'd rather be alive guy looking back at history than being a current pork chop or a current, you know, an hors d'oeuvre. But it was interesting. Bondage will always stay in the same place and be destroyed in the place. It refuses to leave, even when the Lord Jesus Christ, with all the information in the world, says, I'm setting you free, I'm setting you free. You can open up a prison door for people, that's what Jesus did, but Jesus will not violate free will to step out of the prison door.
You know, Steve, the Bible says that light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And, you know, and then I remember when he was teaching on Nicodemus, and Nicodemus looking across the great chasm and, you know, to the rich guy in hell, and the hell guy from hell goes, you know, let me come back and tell my family. And he goes, I tell you the truth. Even if somebody comes back from the dead and tells them the truth, they will not listen. And so that's why it's so important for people like you and for me and Austin and the Hagmans and Sheila and Dave that we all just continue to preach the gospel and preach the word of God, preach about Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, nobody's going to listen, because it's only going to be a remnant that's going to be saved. Like you said, if God did not cut the end time short, nobody would be saved. It'd be so bad for everybody. But I want to thank you so much. Wow, what a fast show, Steve. That was amazing.
Great show.
Thank you so much for being on. Anything you want to add? We've got a couple of minutes left, Steve.
Well, sure. I want to just share with everyone that you never, if there's any Christians that are listening here that are struggling, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions.
That's
right. I want you to start quoting that. And I want you to start quoting that, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You know, Ted, if everybody that wanted me dead or thought I'd be dead by now had their way, I'd be dead by now. But thank God for all the intercessors that pray for us. So I'm calling all Christians, never be ashamed of He who gave His life for you and is resurrected and is going to absolutely show you the wonders that no eye has seen or ear heard nor entered into the heart of man anything. They can't even embrace what God's going to do. I'm telling you,
amen.
You do not have safety hiding out. You have safety in the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in the power of His might and His strength. Hey, Austin, nice meeting you. Ted, God bless you. Thank you, guys.
Thank
Absolutely,
you so much. I appreciate you being on. Guys, that's my friend Steve Quayle. Thank him. I want to thank him again for being on with us today. Wow, Austin, that was a quick show, bud. That was really, really fast. And I just want to let you guys know that Steve's on point. And this is why I wanted to bring Steve on today. And when I saw the article that he posted yesterday about how people don't get it, that when this altar, when this temple is rebuilt, Jesus doesn't come first. The son of perdition shows up. Satan, Lucifer, comes in and starts the doggone tribulation. And Christians are begging all over the place for this to be taking place and they're paying for it. And on top of that, they turn right around and they think that they're going to get raptured out. And that's why I say this show over and over and over again. What if you don't get a pre-trib rapture? What if you start this doggone Antichrist on the planet and you endorse it and you pay for the temple to be built so you could pay for your own destruction? Guys, it says in the Word that these days were not cut short. Even the elite would not survive. So, guys, I want to thank people like Steve Quayle and Dave Hodges and Sheila and Austin and Hagmans for being part of this message. See, the thing about it is, I know so many people in this field now in the alternative market of news. I mean, I've been doing talk shows now, Austin, since 1986. I've been on the air for 32, 33 years now. I've done thousands and thousands of interviews as a guest, probably close to 5,000. And what I've learned over the years is this, is that, you know, we all have to continue to push forward to tell the people the truth. It started off with me when I started talking about how bad pork was, talking to Christian churches, led into the secular market, got into me in the seminar business. I started doing these huge seminars all over the country and all over Canada. And I began to realize that people simply perish for a lack of knowledge is what the Word says. And guys, like my teaching on the blood of Christ and what the blood really means and what the blood really does, it's changed a lot of your lives. Guys, the power and the authority that we have as New Testament believers that have been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, it's unbelievable. If we knew what we know as far as the abilities that we have, if we understood that, we could change the world literally overnight if we had unity of the believer and the unity of thought and the unity of prayer. Guys, thank you for listening today. Great show today. Thank you for supporting Health Masters, for programming like this. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for being here. I got to pray for you guys again this morning. You guys are the best. I love you so much. Austin, go ahead and close it up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That was an awesome show today. And I mean, this is why we bring a lot of this stuff all the time, guys, because I mean, we know a lot of people. We talk to a lot of people. We research a lot of different things. And I mean, when you start having all types of different people from all walks of life and researching and seeing the same things that we're seeing, it's probably real, guys. And I mean, that's what we all have to understand. That's why we bring up Antarctica so much and that weird whole thing down there that we're trying to deal with. There's so much stuff that goes on a regular basis that a lot of people don't want to talk about because of normalcy bias. They want to pretend it's not going to happen. It's the same concept that we've seen so many people adopt, this ridiculous QAnon thing all the time. It's not that those things are impossible to happen, because I think some of them possibly could, but do I think they're going to? No. And to sit by now and idly on the couch and say, well, this was going to happen, we don't have to do anything, everybody's going to get indicted, we're going to get saved, and everything's going to be perfect. Again, that's the same concept that they've taught so many people now incorrectly into the rapture teaching. Well, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter if we teach anybody, it doesn't matter if we preach to anybody, it's fine because we're just going to get raptured before anything happens. Guys, that's not what the Bible says at all. And from the very basis of it, the ideology of that doesn't even make sense, because if all the Christians get raptured as soon as something bad happens, who's going to be left here to still preach the Word of God and the gospel? Nobody. So everybody has to understand that this is something that we're called to do as Christians. Look at the apostles. None of them got raptured. None of them had an easy way out. This was the reality of what happens. But the thing about it is, death, where is thou sting? We understand where our hearts and minds and souls are, and as long as we trust in God, if He's for us, who can be against us? So just understand that, guys. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep promoting what you know to be the truth. Keep trying to strengthen our biblical constitutional republic laws and statutes and what we're trying to promote and push the truth, and don't fall prey to this political correct ideology. It's completely and totally garbage. We appreciate all the support, guys. Thank you for everything you do. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. I'm getting a new kit and a new product that we just got together. We finally got everything in hand and we got everything going up on the website tonight, so be sure to look out for it at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, you can give us a call, as always, Monday through Friday, 1-800-726-1834. We really thank you guys for all the support you continue to do for us. Thank you for choosing Health Masters to be your supplement and nutritional aspect as far as everything we do for you. We try to provide you the best we possibly can. I know there's a lot of people in this market and there's a lot of options. That's why we try to do the best we can to provide you with the highest quality raw ingredients you can physically find. And I tell everybody, compare us. Look at other products on the market that you may like, and look at the ingredients. Look at the actual ingredients. And when you see some of these supplements that just have proprietary blend and they have two or three ingredients and a couple hundred milligrams and there's nothing else in it, and you don't know what's in it, and you can't figure out what's in it, nobody answers the question, there's probably a reason why, guys. So we thank you. We appreciate your support. Thank you for your business and your continued business. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.